Today is week 3, day 4 of hearing the voice of God. And the scripture that we want to tuck in our hearts today is Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. We are called to not be foolish. Being foolish is walking around in life and not doing the will of God. That's living a foolish life. But we want to try to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now remember, our three principles for hearing. Let's review those. Number one, God is my Father. Number two, my Father has a plan for my life. And number three, my Father wants to make known the plan for my life. Yesterday, we saw the blocks to hearing God's voice and how to deal with these blocks. Today, we will address what to do when we've done everything we can do and we still can't discern God's will. We still can't hear from God. I'm going to tell you right now, there are times that are like that. And I'm going to share a story with you where I faced that. I did not know what to do. I tried. I did everything that I could to find out what God's will was, and it just wasn't working. What do you do then? I'm going to give you something very practical, very practical. Here's the steps to take if you can't discern God's will. Now, first of all, we want to, again, try to discern God's will. And that's Ephesians 5:10, which says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Number two, we need to seek counsel. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So when we're trying to discern God's will, we're going to first purpose our heart that we're going to try to find it. And then secondly, we're going to seek counsel. We've tried to find his will, we've sought counsel, we just can't figure it out. What do you do then? You walk by faith. You walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? By sight, that's a comfortable place, isn't it? When you can see it, when you can hear it, when you can touch it, when you can taste it, smell it. You know, we like that. That's comfortable to us. When there's, if you will, empirical proof, that's comfortable. But we are called to walk by faith. And there is, in a sense, a darkness to faith. Now, we're walking in the light of Jesus. Don't take this out of context here. We're in the light. But there's a kind of sometimes a hiddenness. And God will allow that to stretch us. To stretch us out of our place of being comfortable into being a place of faith. Now, I want you to remember this. God is bigger than the biggest mistake you can make. When I was in college, I had a great opportunity before me. I had a scholarship to Boston College. That's a pretty good deal. It was a full ride scholarship to Boston College. I had prayed about it. I had sought wise counsel about it. And I was not at peace of, do I take this or don't I take this? I didn't know what to do. I was not at peace. Remember we said that there are three principles for discernment. The first one is peace. And I was not at peace. A lot of people were saying, Brendan, you got to take this. This is worth a lot of money. It's going to give you a great future. But you see, my great future doesn't come from a lot of money, and it doesn't come from security. My great future comes from doing the will of God. I want you to hear that. Your great future does not come from your money, and it doesn't come from your security. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, your great future comes from doing the will of God. And so here I was in this quandary. Should I follow this counsel? I mean, I've advised you to seek counsel, but I wasn't at peace. So what do I do? I remember I had gone to Mass one morning, and I was there at Mass, and it was right during the Holy Holies. And we were singing the Holy of Holies, a cappella, and I had my hands lifted up to God, just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the Holy Holies, the Lord God spoke to me. And he said to me, Brendan, I'm bigger than the biggest mistake you can make. You know what he said to me? Make your decision and ask for my blessing. See, God was trying to mature me. grow me up. I was receiving the sacraments. I was walking in a life of sanctifying grace. I had a good prayer life. I was in the Word of God. I was under spiritual direction. I tried to figure out what the Word of God, the will of God was. I was listening. And so God said to me, I'm bigger than the biggest mistake you can make. Make the decision and ask for my blessing. What do you do when you have tried to discern God's will, you've sought counsel, you walk by faith? That's what you do. You walk by faith. And what is your faith? Your faith is that God is bigger than the biggest mistake you can make. That God is a loving Father. That if you're trying to discern God's will, if you've sought counsel, God is not going to turn around and be disappointed with you. God is not going to turn around and punish you. See, remember, God is my Father. My Father has a plan for my life. And my Father wants to make known the plan for my life. It is important that when you try to discover the will of God and you're not sure, do not become bound by fear. This happens to a lot of people. You need to know this, that fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Your flesh or the enemy will come to you when you need to make a decision, and your flesh or the enemy will say this, what if? What if? Do you know what fear stands for? F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. When we are in fear, we are in the court of the enemy. Please hear this. The Lord Jesus said, fear is useless. It has no purpose. It's not helpful to you in the spiritual life. When you start seeing that you are in a state of fear, know this. You're in the court of the enemy. Get out of there quick. How do you get out of there? By exercising faith. When we stand in faith, we are in the household of God. We're with a Father who loves us and a Father that's ready to work on our behalf. Do not let fear have any place in your life whatsoever. And nothing needs to be done in a panic or with anxiety. If you're feeling driven or out of control, stop. Stop. God is in control. He is sovereign, and he's not fallen off his throne. God is in control. God is eternal. God knows exactly the amount of time we're dealing with here. God's not sitting here and going, oh my gosh, I don't have enough time. God has plenty of time. And you have plenty of time. The enemy will trip you up by getting you to believe that you've got to make a decision real quick because there's not enough time. There is enough time. You're an eternal being. You will last forever. And God knows the days of your life. They are marked out. And you can rest in that, that God is sovereign. So you want to come back to a place of peace. When you're feeling panic and anxiety, place yourself in the presence of the Lord. Place yourself in the presence of the Lord. Renew your faith that God is a loving Father and that he is there on your side. There's a scripture, and it's in the book of Psalms, and I'm sorry to say that I don't have it memorized where it is. I think it's Psalm 56. I'm not sure, though, but it says this. This I know, God is on my side. Did you hear that? This I know. God is on my side. No matter who's against you, Romans chapter 8, St. Paul speaks of this. You know, no matter who's against you, God is for you. This I know, God is on my side. When we are moved by panic and anxiety, we're being like an atheist. And what's an atheist? Someone that believes that there is no God. They're acting as if there is no God. And when we act as if there is no God, when we get into a panic and when we're in anxiety, there's no God. I got to do something. And we look at our resources and we're limited in our resources. God is not limited in his resources, is he? God's got plenty of what you need. But what we need to do is we need to trust. But what happens is the situation comes and we're bogged down in the situation. In the book of Psalms, it also says this: set me on a rock that is higher than I. When you're trying to discern the will of God, the enemy will try to get you into a panic. He'll try to get you down into the situation, see all the nitty-gritty of it, all the negatives to it. And what does the book of Psalms say? Set me on a rock that's higher than I. What does that mean? When God places you up on that rock, you can look over the situation and see that there's a way out. When you're down in it, all you can see is what's before you. See, set me on a rock that's higher than I. When we're down in it, a lot of times we start acting like an atheist. For a moment, we're practical atheists. For a moment, there is no God. I've got to do something. There's not much I can do. So what can I do? I get into panic and anxiety. Years ago, I was scheduled to preach a parish mission. Now, God is the one who takes care of me and my family. But it's the goodness of God through his good people. You know, let's be honest about this. It's the goodness of God through his good people. God uses his people to take care of my family and feed my family. Everything I do, I preach all around the United States. I don't charge. But usually, it's through those parish missions, me preaching around the United States. That's usually how God provides the finances to take care of my family. It's the goodness of God through his good people. I was scheduled to preach this parish mission, and it was a certain date. I remember it was in February. This was years ago. It was in February. I had this time blocked off. I'm supposed to go preach a parish mission. Well, I get a call from the priest about a month and a half before the mission, and he's canceling the mission. And the reason why he's canceling the mission is that he hasn't done much. I send all the promotional tools, but he hasn't done much to promote the mission. He's afraid people aren't going to show up. So what do I do? Should I start yelling at the priest and saying, well, Father, you said, and we better, blah, blah, blah. Should I become defensive and make sure my family's taken care of? No. God is still on his throne. He's in control. This I know. God is on my side. So the priest gets off the phone, and, you know, I'm nice and polite, but the truth be told, he gets off the phone, I get into a panic. I'm just going to be honest with you. I get into a panic. I get all fearful. I get stressed out. I'm worried about what's going to happen with my family. I'm sitting at my desk. Now, this is a desk that has a bookshelf on it. Okay, so you've got your desk, and then you've got this bookshelf. And I had these books up there, and in my frustration of this mission being canceled, I hit the desk, and a piece of paper fell down. Now, before I looked at that piece of paper, all of a sudden, a peace came into my soul, and the Lord said this to me. He said, Brendan, do you think this was a surprise to me? Think about that. Was this a surprise to God? No way. God is all-knowing. He knows everything, and he's a loving father. So I opened up the piece of paper, and it said, call Father Michael in St. Michael's, Minnesota. Call Father Michael in St. Michael's, Minnesota. So I get on the phone. Now, this, let me tell you, though, I should say this. This paper was given to me about 3 years before. Somebody had been a member of that parish, and I met them. It wasn't at the parish, but they wrote this down, and they said, call this priest. He'll have you come. I called up Father Michael in St. Michael's, Minnesota. When I got on the phone with Father Michael said to me, oh, Brendan, thank you for calling. I understand that you preach parish missions. Could you come to my parish? And I said, sure, Father. When would you like me to come? Guess what the date was? The date was exactly the date that I had scheduled for the other mission. See, what had happened is the night before, he had Mother Nadine Brown of the Intercessors of the Lamb. She was supposed to come. But Brother Rick in their community was very, very sick and he was dying. So she called and she canceled the mission, but she said to him, do not worry, Father, God is sending someone else. See, God is not surprised. So what do we need to do? We need to trust. We need to trust that God is my Father, that my Father has a plan for my life, and my Father wants to make known his plan. Remember, God is bigger than the biggest mistake you can make. Make your best decision, and then ask for his blessing. Ask for the blessing of a loving Father. And you know what? Let's end with this. Romans 8:28. We know that in everything, God works for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God will work everything to the good because he's bigger than the biggest mistake you can make. Be at peace.